Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey everyone.
Hola a todos.
This is Shahira.
And this is Stephanie. And welcome back to Cuento Crimen Podcast.
Happy July, everyone. Dude, yeah, like pasamos the halfway mark of 2023.
That's crazy. What is life? We just started.
I know. I feel like the older we get, the faster time goes.
Yeah.
But we hope that so far, you know, everything's been going smooth for you all. And if not, just know that there's a brighter day coming. And yeah, do we have any updates?
No updates, but maybe just some comments. Mm-hmm. I think a couple weeks ago on Spotify, our episode wasn't uploading.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But it was uploaded on all the other platforms except Spotify. But we had to, you know, email the support Spotify peeps and they were able to help us. But we did upload that Wednesday. It just didn't show up till the next day.
So Stephanie, we didn't miss a Wednesday. Yeah,
because I think the thing was, it was a week before we were like praising it and we were saying
right. Dude, we probably jinxed it.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it was us.
Yeah, so I just wanted to, you know, say that. Also, I guess a little talk about merch. It is coming along. Mm-hmm. We made a lot of progress this week. It's just kind of hard to like decide on designs, right? Yeah. Because we ask ourselves, like, would we wear this? Would we buy this? And, you know, making it not like, I don't know. It's just hard to design.
I think it's hard because there's so many options. Yeah. And then there's no stuff is like, okay, should it be this font or should we make it a little less bold and go with this font? You know, and it can literally look like the same, but like, to you that you are the one designing it, it pops out, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's just like, it's a lot to think about. And I think like you also feel the pressure, like obviously like we've been doing this podcast for like 2 years and this is the first time that we're introducing merch and, you know, we're bringing back the stickers with the dichos. So we don't want to let y'all down.
Yeah, it's like it's pressure. Like, we have to like give it justice, right?
Exactly.
But yeah, it is tough to decide on design. So we always throw it back on the drawing board. Like, should we do more black and white or do we want a little bit of more color? Do we want more text or do we want more like
graphics?
Graphics. And that's kind of tough on the graphics because like you can either.
We don't want to do the graphics.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, I think that's where the question comes. Would you wear that? You know? And I think it seems like people like more text for apparel and like clothing. And for stickers, more graphics is what we're getting, right?
Yeah. So I don't know. Just know que ahí viene, está en camino. Yes. And when it does arrive, we hope that y'all like it.
Yes.
So y'all probably like, okay, enough. Give us what we want. So today we do have a case, a new one. And I believe this one was a requested case. Hold on. Let me check really quick. No, it was not requested. Sorry. It was not a requested one, but this is one of those rare cases that involve a child who was murdered by another child or by someone who was under the age of 18.
And even though they are more on the rare side of cases, it's truly sad to hear about it porque pues uno no se imagina que un niño es capaz de hacer eso. Mm-hmm. Entonces, hoy vamos a hablar sobre el caso de Maddie Clifton, quien fue asesinada por su vecino y amigo Joshua Phillips.
Y antes de empezar, we would like to give you all a heads up because we will be talking about sensitive topics. Entonces, queremos darles una advertencia porque vamos a hablar sobre temas sensibles.
Y también queremos decir que hablamos de estos casos con todo respeto a las familias y a las víctimas. Okay, let's begin.
So, el caso de Maddie pasó en noviembre del 1998. So, it has been a while. And I think that we always like to also state the date and like make emphasis of the date porque 1998 feels like a very different time than now in the present 2023. You know, like a lot of things are different. So, a lot of things that us, you know, now it's common sense, maybe not so much before. So yeah, so that's where it takes place, 1998. Y como siempre, let's start by talking about who Maddie was. Maddie había nacido el 17 de junio del 1990. So at the time of her murder, she was only 8 years old.
Maddie vivía en Jacksonville, Florida, con sus papás Steve y Sheila Clifton. And their family seemed like a carefree, loving family. Just, you know, your typical, regular, loving family. So, yeah, like what we read, it seemed like Maddie came from a good upbringing.
And of course, you know, in the year 1998, esta era la época donde los niños were allowed to roam free, right? Like nowadays, I feel like it's rare for a child to be going down the street by themselves, right? Back in this time, it was kind of the norm for kids to be out and about playing alone, you know, and just come back by dinner time.
Yeah, I think for me, like, it seems like back then, mm-hmm. parents were more trusting of like the neighbors and the community. And now you don't know, you know,
it's like more aware, you know.
Yeah, like you're more aware of the danger. You don't trust as many people.
And I think, you know, con el tiempo la gente fue creyendo and believing that, yeah, like caras vemos, corazones no sabemos. You can't even trust the neighbor next door. Like, you, that's the truth. You just can't.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Y entonces, el 3 de noviembre del año 1998, Maddie salió afuera a jugar con su hermanita. And everything was okay. Like, le dieron permiso para poder salir afuera a jugar con su hermanita.
Pero después de unas horas de que Maddie salió afuera, ella nunca regresó a la casa. Y ella fue reportada como desaparecida ese mismo día, como a las 5 de la tarde.
And right away, no time was wasted. Authorities, volunteers, family, and friends all came together to search for Maddie.
Y al principio, la policía tenía sus sospechas sobre un vecino de Maddie. And this neighbor in particular had been charged with 2 sexual battery cases. Pero estos casos habían pasado hace 15 años, which, you know, has been a while. But because he did have this background, that is the reason why authorities started looking into him.
But after talking to him, he checked out. Y después de eso, el caso quedó así. They, you know, did continue to search for Maddie for another 6 days, pero no podían encontrarla. And they also couldn't really find any hints that could lead to the person responsible for her disappearance.
Y no fue hasta el 10 de noviembre del 1998 en que todo cambió. And it was a Tuesday morning, and this all happened and it all unraveled in Maddie's neighbor's home.
So Maddie had another neighbor, y él se llamaba Joshua. Él tenía 14 años, and Joshua y Maddie eran amigos. They would, you know, play together, right? They're neighbors. Despite the age difference, it's still, like, close enough where they could, like, hang out and, mm-hmm. you know.
I think, like, if anything, Joshua kind of saw her like the little sister.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're still, you know, somewhat close in age to play around, right? Like, as neighbors. And according to both families, Joshua y Maddie se llevaban bien.
And I think that's also the reason why her, like Maddie's parents were comfortable with Joshua being around Maddie. And when Maddie went missing, Joshua was there. Like, he was a volunteer in the front lines searching for Maddie, trying to pick up any hints, which is why it left people so confused because of what happened the 10th of November.
Esa mañana, la mamá de Joshua estaba limpiando el cuarto de su hijo when she noticed that there was a leak coming from underneath his bed.
Y lo que ella encontró fue una pesadilla. Melissa Phillips, la mamá de Joshua, found Maddie's unalived body under his bed. And she immediately went over to the police station to tell them about her discovery.
That scene to me is so, like, shocking. Like, imagine, like, you're just cleaning and that's what you find.
Yeah. Or also, like, the fact that, like, Maddie's disappearance took a, like, the whole neighborhood know about mm-hmm. it. You know, like, todos sabían y todos estaban buscando a Maddie. And you have no idea, but Maddie has been inside your son's room.
Yeah. And, like, to even think that your own son is capable of yeah. being involved in whatever she just found,
it's scary.
Yeah. And I mean, just so glad that, like, she immediately went to go
yeah.
report what she just discovered. En el momento que Melissa encontró el cuerpo de Maddie, su hijo Joshua estaba en la escuela, and that is where he was arrested.
And it's crazy to think about, like, how arresting a child might look. Like, te puedes imaginar, like, all his classmates, su maestro, maestra, like, you have, like, this whole squad of police coming in and taking what seems to be, like, an innocent 14-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Pero la realidad es que este muchacho tenía a un corpse underneath his bed.
Yeah, I think that's, I don't know, like I remember when I was in middle school seeing cop cars, you know, there in the hallway sometimes, and that always like felt very off.
I mean, like the whole thing of like cops and schools, yeah, and, you know, that's just a whole other conversation.
Yeah, it's a whole other conversation. So I don't know. I don't know what's the right thing to do. Obviously, he committed a crime.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's unfortunate for the other children to be there.
To watch,
and
yeah.
Watch, yeah. And so after being arrested, Joshua did confess to Maddie's murder, and he had a whole story with it.
All right, so here we go, y'all. So according to Joshua, on November 3rd of 1998, él estaba en la casa solo cuando Maddie vino y lo invitó a jugar con ella. He said that she had wanted to play baseball.
Just a little background on Joshua and how he grew up. His father, Steve, was very abusive and very strict. And Joshua was terrified of his father. And one of the rules that Steve had era que Joshua no podía tener visitas y él no podía salir if Steve wasn't there at the house. And it didn't matter if his mom was there to supervise or to let him, you know, go out to the street and play. It just didn't matter. Steve had to be there.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is like a very also like opportunity to learn, like as a parent, fear and respect are not the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's truly sad to see when a child and like working with children, you know, sometimes you see, I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, my children go through this, but like, you can tell who is afraid and who respects.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so this was Joshua's upbringing. And if Joshua broke the rules, there were definitely consequences. Entonces, when Maddie came to ask Joshua to come play, Joshua estaba un poquito conflicted, you know? Like, he knew better. He knew that he shouldn't have gone to play with Maddie. Pero al fin, he decided to go out and play. And honestly, like, I don't know. I can't blame him, you know? Like, mm-hmm. Es niño. If it's a beautiful day, todos tus amiguitos están afuera. ¿Por qué te vas a quedar adentro?
Right, yeah. I agree with that. Like, los niños quieren salir, yeah. Right? And if he has a time and he has a friend to play with, like...
Why not? You know,
why not? So... Él dice que Maddie y él empezaron a jugar baseball and that while they were playing, he accidentally hit Maddie's eye and it made it bleed.
Y dice que Maddie empezó a gritar y a llorar. I mean, I imagine she's in pain. I imagine the blood is freaking her out. And so because of this, he began to panic as well, especially porque sabía que su papá no tardaba en llegar en casa. And now look, like he went outside, he disobeyed, and he ended up hurting his neighbor. Entonces dice que lo que él hizo was he dragged Maddie inside his house, which caused her clothes to come off. Note, when they found Maddie's body, half of her clothes were kind of off, like they were coming off her body.
And again, like, this is his story of what happened. You know, we don't have Maddie's side of the story, so... Just wanted to put that out there. Entonces, ya que Maddie estaba adentro de la casa, ella estaba llorando. Y él dice that's when he hit her with a baseball bat to stop her from screaming. Y después de eso, Joshua placed Maddie's body underneath his bed.
And after all that happened, Steve gets home. And Joshua pretended like nothing happened. And he just stayed out in the living room area, just interacting with his parents, como si nada había pasado, como si Maddie wasn't underneath his bed. I don't, who knows if she was still alive?
I just blows my mind como hay gente que puede hacer esto and then just go on about their day and in the same household, just like interacting with your right? family when you know you just committed something. And like, you're 14 years old, you have to have some sense of like, this is bad.
Yeah, right? Of course. Yeah. And speaking of that, it sparked a thought in me. And it's like, okay, well, does that mean that this person is like, you know, go down the whole talk of like psychopath versus sociopath?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just that he was in complete shock? He couldn't even process what had happened. Like, I wonder what goes in the mind. This is the psychology side of it. But
yeah, there's a lot there too, because he's so afraid of his father.
Yeah, exactly. You know? But, you know, later in an interview that Joshua did, he did state that the following weeks he was in denial. So era como he was pretending like it didn't happen. And he said, and we quote, I was putting myself in a fantasy world that nothing had happened. That was my defense mechanism for everything when I was a kid. I never made the decision to ignore it. I just did. End quote.
You know, I think my interpretation of his comment is like, he's a kid and like he's, you know, in bed saying, no, it didn't happen. No, it didn't happen. No, it didn't happen. So I don't know. That's my interpretation of the quote, you know.
But it's just like, no matter how hard or how bad you wish it didn't happen.
It did happen.
It did happen. Yeah. And she's there. She's physically there.
There. Oh, my God. This kid was sleeping on his bed.
Yeah.
With a body under his bed.
For like
a week.
A week.
Even though Joshua never had history of violence or any altercation with police, he was found guilty of Maddie's murder.
And at first, prosecutors thought that the murder maybe had been sexually driven. Pero cuando la autopsia regresó, no había ninguna huella that she had been sexually abused.
They did note that they found no blood in the backyard, indicating que ellos estaban jugando afuera, and no hubo sangre tampoco en el bate.
Which is important, right? Because he said that he had hit her with the baseball bat. So if that's the thing, then where was the blood? Like, I would imagine there was a lot of blood where it happened. Mm-hmm. But then again, he did hit her in the eye when they were playing. So maybe that's why. Like, her eye maybe didn't bleed.
Maybe it did. Maybe it was a scratch. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it wasn't, like, you know, bleeding a lot.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. And this comment kind of goes back to, like, why they thought that she had been sexually abused was because they just didn't make sense of how Maddie's clothes came off from being dragged inside. It just didn't click.
Yeah.
But all in all, that whole argument was dropped.
Joshua, regardless of only being 14 years old, was tried as an adult. Y el caso fue transferido a Duval County, Florida, to Polk County porque estaban preocupados of just the whole media that the case had. And so they wanted to give him a fair trial.
Yeah, and I think also just maybe to, like, protect him from, like, the... Because, you know, like, the public can get really nasty. Yeah. And he is a kid at the end of the day.
And so that was, you know, one reason. But another reason was just the whole publicity on this case. And they just wanted to protect...
Joshua, yeah.
Yeah, to protect Joshua.
I guess also because, like, I mean, in, a lo mejor quizás en esta época no se usaba o no se escuchaba mucho, pues... of these wild cases of a child, you know, murdering another child. And so they knew that, you know, the public can be nasty and people are so easy to want to hurt other people. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of also a way to protect Joshua.
Yeah, protect Joshua, protect the case, protect the families involved.
Y el juicio empezó el 6 de julio del 1999 y duró dos días.
The jurors took just 2 hours to convict Joshua of first-degree murder y después fue condenado a cadena perpetua sin posibilidad de libertad condicional. Joshua no era elegible para la pena de muerte porque tenía menos de 16 años.
During the trial, Joshua never spoke, so it was difficult to really know if he was feeling at all remorseful for what he did.
I know this is like a crime committed by a kid to another kid, but remorseful or not, what he did to Maddie was cruel. Mientras que he was serving his time, Joshua was able to complete his GED in prison and even took college classes.
And Joshua apparently now, I mean, he's still in prison, but apparently he is a paralegal in prison. Y él ayuda a los otros inmates con sus appeals. And he even works as a tutor for some of the inmates.
You know, I am glad to hear that he's doing something productive while, you know, he's serving his time and, you know, helping others along the way.
Yeah. And honestly, I really wish that we knew more of what he did when he did. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could have been fear from his father. It could have been the panic like he claimed that it was, or maybe it was sexually driven. We just don't know.
Yeah.
Pero pues sí, como dijo Steph, lo que él le hizo a Maddie was horrible and he took her away from all her loved ones and it's tough, you know? And also like the fact that he was so young is mind-blowing and it's a bit sad because, you know, now all that Joshua knows, he's basically living his life in prison. So it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joshua has tried to appeal his sentence, pero nunca han aceptado su propuesta.
Y Joshua también no les ha pedido perdón a la familia de Maddie. And he claims that he will not write a letter to them to apologize because he would like to apologize in person. Pero como ustedes se lo imaginan, la familia de Maddie no lo quiere ver.
I mean, I think like an apology can only do so much. Mm-hmm. You know, what is a sorry going to do?
Yeah.
And I mean, at this point, and it, you know, it's been so many years, like the family had no choice but to find closure themselves. Or maybe they haven't. Who knows? And yeah, this is the tragic case of Maddie Clifton.
This one's a tough one because it's a kid crime committed to another kid.
I think we had one. I think, what was his name?
Derek Robbie.
Oh, yeah. Derek Robbie. I remember Robbie, but I can't remember his name. But
yeah, a little boy.
I don't know if y'all remember that case, but the person responsible for his death recently was circulating the internet because he was
released and right? He lives in New York.
Yeah.
Or in that area, I believe, from what I can recall from that case. Yeah.
And he was also around the same age as Joshua.
Yeah. 14, something like that. Yeah. Yeah. These cases are tough, but you know, this is, you know, good to talk about.
Yeah. It's tough, but like you said earlier, like, he had to know wrong.
Yeah. Right. It's still a crime.
Murder. Like murder. And he had, I don't know. I just feel like, dile que, supone que si le pegó. Why didn't you ask for help?
Yeah.
You know, but instead you decided to hit her again and keep her body, you know? So it's just, it's hard. It's hard to talk about like most cases on here.
Yeah. I am really interested to know what y'all think. Spotify has this feature. If you're listening on, if you're listening on Spotify, there's this really cool feature that you can write down what you think about the episode, and then us on our end, we can see the responses and then publish them, and then people can see what other people are saying. So we should try that for this episode. So let us know what y'all think, and we'll be on the other end reading that and also responding. Publishing it.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I just recently discovered that feature. I was like, wow, this is really cool.
Yeah.
So let's use it, y'all.
Yeah, let's use it. Yeah.
Try it out. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you so much for listening to this week's episode, and we'll see y'all next week.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.